collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Enning, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We're with you every week to recap the Northwestern Wildcats' latest effort and look ahead to what's coming up for them. And Dan, I'm not sure that we've had a tougher one to talk about this year, and there have been a few tough ones, but Saturday's game against Michigan at Wrigley Field, if you look in the dictionary for the definition of heartbreak for Northwestern, this is the game you would find. They had a lead of 1 point through most of the fourth quarter, and the Wolverines able to put a drive together, 50 yards in 11 plays, set up he was the best kicker in the Big Ten a year ago, Dominic Zavada, for basically a chip shot 31-yarder, and Michigan pulls out a 24-22 victory. I mean, you had some tough losses as a player, but I can't imagine that there are too many that hit harder than this one did.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Obviously, I think I saw a stat. It was the first time a team's lost while winning the turnover battle by five. Definitely a tough loss. But again, in these, you know, tight Big Ten games against good opponents, you know, the key stats come through. And as we've talked about, you know, what's ailed Northwestern in a lot of games this year has been their red zone and tight zone, frankly, lack of ability to score touchdowns. And that's shown through pretty quickly, right? Turnovers can be neutralized if you can keep the other team to field goals and away from touchdowns. And that's what Michigan did. And, you know, credit to them. They struggled a lot on offense, had a ton of turnovers, obviously. But, you know, when it came down to it, they put together the drive that mattered and that one key play, the scramble and nice throw by the quarterback and a toe tap by the receiver to keep the drive going. So, you know, that's what a lot of these games come down to, right? You know, the inability of Northwestern to maintain the ball with those last two possessions and run out the clock, and then the ability of Michigan to make, you know, a big play and a big kick at the end of the game. So definitely unfortunate. Not really. I know Northwestern's not really into moral victories, so I'm sure they're licking their wounds early this week and on to Minnesota to hopefully, you know, seal a bowl trip.
Yeah, Coach David Braun made that abundantly clear after the game on Saturday, and rightly so, saying, you know, it's tired of people patting him on the head saying, well, good effort, Northwestern. That's not what they're in it for. But you talk about the red zone. You and I have talked about that all season in this space. Cats were, they were 5 for 5, but remember they had the two first and goal to go situations inside the 10-yard line, close to the 5-yard line, and had to settle for field goals. They were a little more successful their last three times down there, but then they had the ball a couple of times in the fourth quarter where, you know, a first down or two would have potentially put them in position to take control of the game, even if they weren't able to add more points, and they weren't successful in those efforts. But in my mind, you look at third down, Dan, I mean, a third down was an area in which the Wildcats have been pretty good most of the year on both sides of the ball. Lately, you go back to the Nebraska game and Nebraska's last drive where the Cornhuskers had, what, I think four third downs they successfully converted. And Michigan was able to do that on Saturday, 9 of 14 on third down on the Wildcats 2 of 12, and that's a pretty significant difference in those numbers.
Yeah, and that's another key point, right? Third down, you know, wins and loses games, and again, credit to Michigan for extending drives, and Northwestern's just got to do a better job. I mean, they made a lot of plays on offense to win the game. Welsing had a great game, running game struggled a little bit. But if you can't sustain drives against a good team that likes to hold the ball as well, it's going to be a challenge.
It's funny, I saw you during the game, and it was right at the end of the third quarter when Preston Stone took an intentional grounding call, and so it was second and long, and after the loss of down, and then he connects with Griffin Wilde on a 32-yard pass, and all of a sudden they're back in business. He hit Elagon, he hit Welsing on that drive, and that was, I guess, the best outburst offensively for them during the course of that game.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they have talented guys on offense. I think they just have to find a way to continue to get them the ball in big plays, and specifically, just, you know, in my opinion, find a little bit more creativity or don't overthink things when you get inside the five, because those are situations where you have to score touchdowns, right? The 2-point conversion, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but the same thing, just not the best play design in my mind. Obviously, not great throw by Preston, kind of throw it in the dirt. But you know, those are plays that, you know, I'm sure the OC and the players are looking back on, kicking themselves, saying, look, if we would have just made one more play here or there, you know, they don't have a chance to win the game. So again, we've talked about it, tough one, but you know, they've got to bounce back, right? And get a win against a tough Minnesota team. You know, they won't be, I think, as big of underdogs as they were against Michigan. I think they're actually favored in the game, but you know, this is a huge hump for the program to get over to get, you know, to a bowl opportunity.
You know, there were so many great individual performances, which again, those don't necessarily count for much when you lose the game, but especially on defense, some guys who really stood out. I mean, Robert Fitzgerald has done it all year. An interception Saturday, the second of his career. He had a tackle for loss and 15 tackles, a career high. Braden Bruss, who had a big fumble recovery, a career high 13 tackles, second week in a row with a career high for him. Mac Uline got his usual 10 tackles in the game. And Braden Turner came up with both a fumble recovery and an interception, which set up a touchdown. And you know, those are the kinds of things. I mean, you mentioned the turnovers. I don't remember ever seeing a team come up with forcing five turnovers, not turning the ball over, and losing the game. And yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to swallow, especially when you look at how this team struggled to take the ball away early in the season, even though they put a real premium on it and they stress it in practice every day. But all of a sudden they've been coming up with the turnovers, I think 8 in their last 3 games, and yet they haven't necessarily cashed in on all of those. That's another part of it, is you got to turn those turnovers into points.
Yeah, 100%. I think that with the tight zone struggles is really just like a momentum killer, right? Those opportunities, you know, coming off turnovers and punching those in for touchdowns just swing the game so much and, you know, affect the mentality of the other team and momentum and such. So to the extent that, you know, they get a turnover and go 3-and-out like they did a couple times against Michigan and other games, it's kind of just a huge letdown, right? And the defense, it's hard to ask them to do any more than that, right? You know, right. If you're a defensive player and some of the guys you mentioned that you just caused, you know, 5 turnovers and lost the game, that's also a very, you know, very tough pill to swallow.
Well, Dan, let's bring in the Wildcats starting right tackle, number 75 out of Merrillville, Indiana. He started the last 8 games at the right tackle spot for the Wildcats. He transferred to Northwestern after 4 years at Minnesota. It's Martez Lewis. Martez, thanks for jumping on with us. You're going to face your former team Saturday at Wrigley Field. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Dan and I have been talking about the game this past Saturday against Michigan. And I know that the message from Coach Braun this week has been to move forward. But what's been the mood around practice this week after such a tough loss?
I'll just find out how we need to get better and just work on fixing it. Keep getting better ourselves individually with required and unrequired work.
Let's talk about the offensive line. I mean, this offensive line has allowed just 12 sacks, third fewest allowed in the Big Ten. You moved into the starting lineup of the Oregon game. Since then, there have been 4 games without any sacks allowed, and they've averaged 170 yards rushing a game. What has enabled the offensive line to gel the way you guys have?
We've gelled just through practice, repetition, going over calls, like after film, you know, staying later, going over plays like with ourselves without coaches, so it's like us communicating how we would on the field. I feel like that has really helped us on the field when we get, when it's, you know, in a game situation.
Thanks again for joining us. Turn the sights to Minnesota. Obviously, you know probably a lot of the guys on the team and are licking your chops to get out there and play against them. When you look at kind of their defensive line and defensive front seven, you know, what are some of the things that you guys think you can take advantage of on Saturday?
Not really. I would like to trust my technique. And then I guess just go with the game plan.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Coach Fleck obviously has had a lot of success at Minnesota. What are some things that you know, when you were playing under him that you took away that you're now using in your career as well?
I guess both places kind of have the drive to win and compete. Both, you know, Big Ten teams always striving for victory. I believe they're similar in that way.
The Gophers lead the Big Ten, 33 sacks. Anthony Smith is the Big Ten sack leader. I mean, you know these guys. What's Saturday going to be like for you playing against your former team?
I don't know how it'll feel. Like, I know, I guess, almost everybody on the team. So it'd be more, I don't know what the word is for it.
Yeah. I mean, do you expect it's going to be kind of emotional for you to see these guys?
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while or since I've transferred. So, yeah, it will. It'll be nice to, I guess, catch up after the game.
What's been playing close to home been like for you? I've seen a lot of Martez Lewis jerseys around in the parking lot after games.
It's been great. I'm an hour 20 from home, so I can go home whenever. My Thanksgiving around the corner, and I can make it home for Thanksgiving, which I feel great about. I can see family, travel back and forth. If anybody ever needs my help, I can just easily go home. So it's been great.
Yeah.
And also being close to the city, all the opportunities it provides.
Oh, sure. No doubt about that. Well, listen, we appreciate your time here. What was it like? This was your first game Saturday playing at Wrigley Field. Despite the outcome, what was the experience like for you?
It was a great venue. New field that I haven't played on, so you know, new experience itself, just getting used to it. But it was a great venue for us.
All right. Well, listen, Martez, congrats on a terrific season. Thank you for taking some time with us, and good luck against Minnesota this week.
Thank you.
There you go. Martez Lewis of the Wildcats, kind enough to jump on with us. Well, good visiting with Martez. And the Wildcats will have some challenges here. Anthony Smith, defensive end for the Gophers, 9.5 sacks, leads the Big Ten, 7th in the nation, 12.5 tackles for loss. That leads the Big Ten. The other end, Carter Menz, in top 10 in the Big Ten in sacks. 33 sacks. They lead the conference, 4th in the nation. And look, this offensive line has done a great job, but they're going to be called upon again on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Minnesota is one of those teams, you know, not too dissimilar to Northwestern, where, you know, they've had a couple great wins and some kind of head-scratching losses. So, you know, it depends, you know, what team shows up, but they're certainly going to be a well-coached and tough team. But as we've talked about in the past, this is a monster game to just kind of release some pressure from the team, get a win, and be able to cut it loose versus Illinois. Obviously, the last thing they want to do is you know, depend on the Illinois game to see if they're going bowling. So, you know, I'm sure the guys are, like we talked about, are down, but they're ready to go and bounce back and hopefully get a win against the Gophers.
I'm not sure how many of the players on this Minnesota team remember it, although there are certainly a few. Darius Taylor, their running back, ran for almost 200 yards in the game at Evanston 2 years ago. And you know that their coach, P.J. Fleck, remembers they had a big lead. What were they up? 31-10, I think, going to the fourth quarter in that game. And the Cats came back, tied it up, and then won it in overtime on that pass to Charlie Mangieri. And, yeah, that was the first Big Ten win for David Braun at Northwestern. And so I don't think they'd like to do it as dramatically Saturday as they did, but I think all they need to take care of now is getting a win. They really need this victory and end this three-game losing streak. So Early game Saturday at Wrigley, 11 a.m. start. And we will have it for you on WGN Radio Saturday. The pregame at 10:30. Kickoff will be at 11. And don't forget, the Illinois game the following week is going to be a night game in Champaign. Dan, I don't remember a night game between the Wildcats and the Illini for the Land of Lincoln Trophy or back when they played for the Sweet Sioux Tomahawk over the years. But they are they're going to play that one under the lights in Champaign a week from Saturday, which should make for a lot of fun. Should be a great atmosphere for that one. But it'll be, I think, a lot more fun for the Wildcats if they are able to get this win Saturday against Minnesota.
Absolutely.
And that's going to do it for this week's Collegiately Speaking. Thanks to Martez Lewis of the Wildcats for jumping on. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Edit, and we'll talk to you again next week.